Fashion Day. Rule over me and mine from some flowery seat in the south. Why shouldn't we rule ourselves again? There sits the only king I mean to bend my knee to. The King of the
Ford Castle!
Hello, once again, we are the Kings of the Podcastle. Welcome to episode 20. No, you shut up.
You shut up.
No, you shut up.
Can we please run these names by me before I show up?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, we can actually. But you got to get here before 5 minutes to record time.
Oh, right. Oh my God.
Welcome once again. Yes, I am King Mike. I will be your gracious host. I'm joined by King Greg. King John, King Devin is here. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And we have, of course, our producer, King Zachary.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Of course Jesus. He gives himself an applause. Why wouldn't he?
I miss John always telling us he produces things. Zach, you need to start telling us that you produce things.
Yeah, you got to say, I produce things.
I don't produce things.
Oh, I guess you don't know. Okay.
Yes, John, you produce a great...
I produce things.
You do. You yeah, still, I do. You produce a child.
It's not here yet, but okay. You're,
but it does exist.
I produce,
and it sounds like you're still trying to produce it.
Yeah, it's in production.
Oh my God,
that was clever.
I'm practicing my craft.
I just want to point out that Zach made that sound by pounding his fist into his hand. I'm not sure if that's actually how he has sex. Pounding his fist.
Is that the sound before they have sex? That's what's forcing her into submission?
She likes it. She's into that.
Stop moaning. I can't concentrate. Oh.
What yeah. a way to start a show.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of the show, hopefully you're listening to us on iTunes and gone there
for
and
free.
Subscribed. You can also check us out on Stitcher. Make sure you download the podcast app for your iPhone, the Stitcher, or the Beyond Pod app for your Android.
For free.
Yes. And God almighty. Hey, and you can check us out at kingsofthepodcastle.com. Yes, Greg?
For free.
Yes, it is for free. You are right. I think they've got that. Okay. Let's see. We did some comedy over the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
What's
oh, yeah.
this we business, Kimasabi?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. Some of us did some comedy
over the
weekend.
Let's go ahead and start with the bad news first.
What's the bad news? Go ahead.
Oh, bad news is just I've had a shitty week, everybody. So if you want to email me and piss me off more, that's perfectly fine. The only good news, we have a production company, a producer, who does commercials and television that's now listening to our podcast that was really cool to talk to. Bad news is car broke down on the side of the road in the rain. I didn't make any comedy this weekend. I only get to hear good things about everybody else's comedy. So the Angry Texan is actually now working on new premises about how pissed off his life is.
Oh, really? That's the same
and
premise.
And Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. I'm still pissed about that.
The Red Wedding. Yes, everybody is reeling about the Red Wedding.
Yeah, that was like the most worst way to do an abortion I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Everybody is kind of up in arms about that last weekend's episode of Game of Thrones. If you're not a Game of Thrones fan, it's a big HBO show. Devin, you've read the book, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, this one.
You already know
this
what
chapter.
Happened.
Yeah. You just. But, I mean, there's 5 books out now. You can go 2 seasons in advance if you want to. The books are a little wordy. His last book was about 1,500 pages.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped reading the book.
Honestly, it's really good. Like, if you start on the first book, you will get a lot of information that they don't show in the show.
Oh,
they
yeah.
also have some, like, side stories that really aren't in the book. Like, they kind of add a little bit for the people that have already read the book.
Oh, like,
and so,
you mean the show does
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the show does that.
Things? Okay.
So just to keep them, just because, like, if I was sitting there and I've already read the book and I know what's going to happen, it's like, I'm not tuning in. But they actually do add a little bit to it.
Okay.
So, and well, plus the naked chicks.
I was about to say, are the titties an addition, or is that in the books as well?
They get pretty,
is there
I mean,
pictures?
The sex scenes are there, yeah. But there's no pictures.
No. But you know that Emilia Clarke, who plays Dany, the Targaryen queen, she's come out to the producers and said that she no longer wants to do nudity.
Oh.
What?
That little slut.
Doesn't matter. We already have screenshots from
yeah,
her.
No, exactly. I can Google image it at this point.
Can you get the audio version of the book narrated by William Shatner or anything?
I don't know. I really, maybe. I have no idea. It would probably be like 74 CDs. Like.
But I am looking forward very much to the finale, which is tonight. And then, of course, we'll recap it next week, probably.
Yep.
Okay, so back to comedy. We got off there because Greg really wanted to talk about the Red Wedding. We did. Devin, where were you at this week? Because we didn't even see you.
I spent Friday at Gregory's Comedy Club.
How was that?
It was great. Yeah, I was highly impressed with the venue. It was really nice. It's an upstairs venue, great seating, great stage.
Yeah.
And they have two bars, one downstairs, one upstairs.
Okay.
Highly impressed with it. Loved it all. And then, that's cool, Greg. Just make a Jägerbomb.
Like a Foley studio over there.
I know. What are you doing?
Trying to be quiet, making the Jägerbomb. This is the story.
Mentioning the bar upstairs and downstairs. I had to reenact that.
Oh, here's a bar sound effect live in the video.
But go on, Devin. Go on.
It was good. And I performed with a guy who was a writer for Jay Leno in the past. And this other guy who was actually from the Winter Haven area. I knew where his house was. I drove past it every day on the way to school.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, he was kind of a, he was a little,
homosexual,
hack, like,
hack,
but it wasn't his fault. It was a simple fact. He said he did comedy like 20 years ago and then stopped. And then this was like his like second show back.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's already hanging out at Gregory's?
Yeah, I guess he had connections and stuff.
Yeah,
and
gotcha.
So he was kind of like that swinger comedy, the comedian that we know.
Yeah, yeah, I guess you could say
a
that.
Lot like that guy.
Yeah, let's do inside jokes in the radio.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, and neither does anybody else.
Ron Chapman.
There you go.
Dude, don't say his name. He's big, and I want him to beat me up.
So I got to host over at Annie's in downtown Orlando, which was a ton of fun. I was there Friday and Saturday night. And it was great. Everything went well. Our Angelo was our headliner. His last name is God Almighty. I have
it's
no
hard
idea.
To pronounce.
It's like ridiculous.
Scantaratini.
He doesn't even go by it. His comic name is Angelo. He calls himself the Sheriff of Nasty County. And it's because he's pretty nasty. His jokes are, he talks about the best way to convince a woman to have anal sex.
Yeah.
And he compares it. He compares it to going into a person's house, like being a guest at someone's house. He's like, you never want to just barge in there. Because, you know, you don't barge into a woman's ass or a person's house because you might find narcotics there.
Right.
Is one of his jokes. yeah.
It was a lot better when he told it.
Yeah, it was way better. I'm not going to try to reenact it because I'm not stealing his comedy. But that's the kind of humor that he was doing. But people were loving it. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, so, it was very funny stuff. Yeah, John came out and checked it out. Go ahead. What?
So he did Albert Pujols jokes?
No, he didn't.
God. What?
Give him a fail horn.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know.
It's the fart sound effect, you sons of bitches. God.
Greg is just trying to interject at this point.
I am
He's
pissed.
Just like, wait, I want to say something.
You're the one that's made the big deal about putting the hand up. I got to raise my hand like I'm in the fourth grade.
Yeah, yeah, that's, that way you don't talk over everybody and say something stupid like Pujols jokes.
Oh. Oh, like your face.
Anyway,
I want you to die in a car accident. I want him to die in an elevator. I want John to live a happy life and Zach to just drink with me later. What?
Zach got to come out and do a 5-minute set with us, and I thought that you did extremely well, sir.
Yes, he did.
Don't talk me up. That's not very
well.
Nice.
No, Zach, for your second go around, I didn't see the first one, but I thought the other night went great.
Well, I'm really glad you didn't see the first one because it was awful.
It wasn't that bad.
It was about 6 minutes of material in 3.5 minutes.
Well, it was your first time. You were rushing yourself. You were nervous. But I thought on Friday that you really looked, you did great. If you have an opportunity to come out and see Zach perform, you need to come out and support him because he's doing a good job. He just doesn't want to admit it to himself yet.
He's being hard on himself.
Well, Saturday night we went and did the same thing. I went to Cafe Annie's. And I did a set, and I took some notes from you from Friday night and made some improvements and did really well at Annie's.
Right.
And I went straight from Annie's, and I went to Sleuth's and the open mic there. Same exact set, totally falling on deaf ears at Sleuth's.
But
killed at Annie's.
But that's the great thing about doing comedy, and Devin will tell you 100 times over, we've had this conversation. But one room, you'll go in, and it's amazing. Like, everybody loves you. The very same joke at the next club completely fall flat on its face, and it's just kind of, you know, it's weird like that. Sometimes it works out beautifully, and other times it goes
pretty much. Let's see, for 200 points, John, what do you do every Thursday night?
Every Thursday night at Star Island Resort from 5 till 7, I am the trivia host.
Yeah! That's the correct answer, sir. You're moving on to the next round.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Saturdays, too, right?
And starting on the 15th, I'll be doing it Saturday, 5:30 to 7:30.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, place. You'll be out there every Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm trying to work. I'm not going to. Well, screw it. I'm trying to work on a Sunday at over at the Wheelhouse, but we'll see what happens.
That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. So when people aren't staying there, they can still come on. They just got to come over and say, hey, here to see John Donovan.
I'm going up to drink at the bar upstairs. You know?
Oh, really? They'll just let you on.
I do that all the time. It's great. You show up at John's show, and you know him, so he lets you cheat on the answers, and you get the free bucks, and then you go and spend at the bar, and it's a free drunken night. It's excellent.
All right. Thanks for thank you for jeopardizing my employment.
I just have a request, Greg. You did not give any bar sound effects during that discussion. If you're going to be on bar sound effects today, we need
Greg is in a goddamn bad mood.
Greg is ready to murder everyone right now because of his car today. What are you waiting on?
I was waiting for him to drop an F-bomb.
Oh, I thought it was coming too, for sure. Okay.
Instead, I wanted to use the Lord's name in vain.
Okay.
Just had to get that out there.
Today on Facebook Topics, we had somebody who asked us what our comedic influences are. So let's go around the table and discuss.
Mine early on, obviously, Rodney Dangerfield. I listened to No Respect probably 150 times.
Really?
Yeah, I love that album, and I can recite everything from it. And then he was like my inspiration to love comedy. And then my inspiration to get into comedy was actually Dave Attell. He has a CD out called Skanks for the Memories.
Yeah.
It is the funniest CD. Like, I got that CD just on a whim. I was like, let me buy a comedy CD. And I picked that one because it had an interesting title.
Skanks for the Memories.
And so I started listening to it, and I memorized some of his jokes. And I would tell them to friends who I know didn't listen to Dave Attell.
Sure.
And they would laugh their ass off. And I'm like, wow, that must be really cool to like say a joke to somebody that you wrote and have it be. Even though these weren't ones that I wrote, I was like, what if I started writing my own? Like, how awesome would that be? And so I say that, you know, Dangerfield and Attell were probably two of the major influences. Then Hedberg came in there, too. I love
Hedberg. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. What about you, John? I know that you're not doing stand-up right now, but I know that you also used to perform in comedy shows, so you have a huge comedic influence. Who would you
More
be?
Comedic actors, of course. Jim Carrey, for one, physical.
Oh, yeah, super physical, actors. Which is exactly the kind of comedy that you used to do whenever you were on stage all the time.
Yeah.
Super physical.
I'll take
You used to talk out your ass?
He did.
I still do.
He did.
I asked you a question.
I don't know if this is going to play in the story, but I just want to tell this story. So we used to do this Wild West show, and one of the things that I will always remember John Donovan doing during a show one time was we had this duck call. He was playing a deputy. It was a comedy Wild West show, right? So he has this duck call, and John will go on forever with this damn duck call, like playing musical notes on it, going burr, 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 burr. And then one day I was watching him, and he starts treating it like a car, like he's making engine sounds. He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, rah, 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 with a duck call, right? And he starts running around the stage, going crazy. Rah, 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 and then he runs backstage to the sound effects machine rah, and hits a car crash. So he's backstage now, and over the microphone he goes, I'm all right.
Had to been there.
Yeah, you might have had to been there, but it goes back to the physical comedy that I know that you do, that you love. What about you, Greg? What's your comedic influence?
Man, I got to tell you. Growing up, just watching Looney Tunes, started out Looney Tunes with me and my dad always, you know, Yosemite Sam, I loved him. And Pepe Le Pew, that was our favorite. And then growing up, you know, seeing slapstick comedies like the Three Stooges. I'll tell you, the thing that got me going in stand-up the most, when Devin was like, you know, you need to really start getting on stage and doing this. And I was like, all right, you know, so I tried to start going and get things going. It was when you and I were backstage with Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
And I put my phone to record. I wanted to record every bit of advice that he had to give. And it was like 2 hours of just audio.
Yeah, he was not afraid to talk because Gallagher was getting older.
Oh, my God.
And he was ready to start passing on his knowledge, it seemed
like.
And
he
talked forever.
And he told me some of the best advice, and it still sticks in my head. He was like, when you hit that stage, he said, I want you to think of two things. He said, do you want to be the bad guy or do you want to be the good guy? And he walked off, and I was like, shit, man. I mean, is this a trick question? What do I want to do? And then right before he hit the stage, I was like, hey, Gallagher, I'm sorry, Mr. Gallagher. Hey, which one should I be?
Hey, Mean Joe Green.
Which one should I be? And he was like, you want to be the good guy. He said, you want everybody in that audience to connect with you on everything you say. If you're going to be the angry Texan, he said, you want everybody to be just as mad about the things that you talk about as you are. And it stuck in my head. And from this day, every time I get on stage, I'm like, I've got to connect with these people. I've got to make sure that everything I talk about just pisses me off. It pisses them off, too, and we can all laugh about it.
Right, right, right. For me, it was not nearly as deep as that story. But whenever I was growing up, I used to watch, God, what are their names? Abbott and Costello.
Oh, yeah.
They were huge for me. And Who's on First and all that stuff.
I know. I heard that bit when I was 15 and it murdered me.
Oh, my God. It just still to this day is one of the funniest comedic bits that you can get. You can probably find it on iTunes right now. Oh, yeah. Who's on First.
But, it's nice that you and John were able to see it debut on TV.
What are you trying to say?
Glad that we have some older gentlemen in the room here.
The gray hairs braided out of their eyes hole.
I watched them whenever I was a really young kid. My dad bought Africa Screams, which is like one of their more popular movies, and I watched that damn movie.
Africa Screams?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't there a porn named Africa Screams?
There might be. I don't know. But but I watched that movie after school, like, I swear to God, every day for years. And then as I got older, it became Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Eddie Murphy's Raw and Eddie Murphy Delirious. I've listened to those, watched the video. I would watch it relentlessly.
That explains your use of the N-word on stage. Right?
I figured it's all right for him.
Yeah.
What was the Richard Pryor thing we watched the other night where he had, what was his album that was like something N-word?
Oh, yeah. That's all of Richard Pryor's had the N-bomb.
And he said,
in
the title of his album, though, had the N-word in it. And he was like, she's like, so if I say it, he goes, I'll punch you in the mouth.
Yes, exactly. Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and then as I got older, I was watching movies like Blazing Saddles and stuff like that. So it's always been slapstick / very hardcore stuff. What about Zach? Zach, do you have some comedic influences?
I do, actually. I grew up listening to Jeff Foxworthy. Like,
and really?
Then, yeah, and then Blue Collar came around, and
your
I
comedy's
lost
not
my
anything
shit.
Like that.
Well, interesting story. None of you guys know this, but when I was a kid, I auditioned for a school play, and I did like a 10-minute Jeff Foxworthy bit and got the part. Off of Jeff Foxworthy's material.
Wow.
Wow.
And at the end, I felt bad. I'm like,
was it Gone with the Wind? Like, what the
it was actually Charlie Brown.
What part did you play?
Yeah.
Wait,
no,
Patty.
I played Charlie Brown.
You might be a redneck if you try to kick this football over and over.
He got Woodstock. Wasn't that his name? The little bird that never actually speaks. No lines. Anyway.
But yeah, I got into Jeff Foxworthy and then Ron White when Blue Collar came out. But always, I was also listening to George Carlin. George Carlin.
Yes, oh, yeah. Of course.
He's awesome.
His whole bit on religion is awesome.
He does one bit on criminals.
Yeah.
And he's one of the ones that said, just pick a state that no one's in, like Iowa or something, and wall it off and just let them loose in there. Yeah. It was a really good premise, and for some reason that premise has always stuck with me. But he does that. He does the 7 things you can't say on TV that everybody listens to.
You know that's actually what it is now, being in radio. It's actually... The FCC actually took those 7 words from that bit and kind of made that. That's kind of the standard rule now.
Yeah, it's a staple for the FCC now.
And it was all based off of his bit.
My favorite line in that bit?
Yeah.
You can prick your finger, you can't finger a prick.
Right. That's a good point. So we talked briefly about you going and doing Sleuth, which is a mystery dinner theater throughout the week. And every Saturday night they do an open mic. We've talked about it several times on the show. And speaking of mystery dinner theaters, we have a special guest that's going to be here for our next segment. His name is Dan. What's his last name?
Dan Gordon.
Dan Gordon. And he is with Mystery Dinner Show. What's the name
Murder
of this?
Mystery Theater.
Murder Mystery Theater. It's a company. We're going to have him come in and talk to us about some of his shows that he has coming up and what it is that they do, and we'll be back with that and more here on Kings of the Podcastle.
Penis.
All right, guys, and now it's time to check out some of the King's favorite stand-up comedy where we got our influences. Listen up.
asking people to be different. I think in America, where you ask these questions. I'd raise my hand and she knew I was screwing around with her, you know. So I'd have to raise my hand. Like I just thought of something very clever. What makes the Teflon stick to the pan? If a duck eats and goes in the water, does he get the cramps? When yogurt goes bad, how can you tell?
You see that black guy over there at the line getting some candy?
Yeah.
All right, now he's about 6'5". I'm 5'2". I ain't no big guy, all right? But I'm Italian. Watch this. You watch this, all right? Hey, excuse me, brother. Hey, let me have a box of juicy fruits and let me have some bonbons. I think I have some bonbons there. And let me have some junior mints and give me another box of juicy fruits and the niggas are going to pay for it. Excuse me? You heard what I said, Mooley. Pay for my fucking candy. Or I'll kick your ass. Oh, you just saw Rocky. Look, little Italian white man. I enjoy Sylvester Stallone's movies too, but I'm waiting to get some candy. I'm going to go see a movie with my friend. Why don't you just go hop in your IROC Z28 and take your ass home? I'll kick your fucking ass. Didn't they hear that Rocky music? Hour later? Woo, 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 woo. He's not going to make it. The big nigga named Abdullah's hand wrapped around his throat. And a box of juicy fruits rammed up his ass. He's not going to make it. He's fucked up.
And when you come backstage, if some bouncer tries to stop you, you just tell him, hey, Rodney invited me back for a few drinks, you big stupid bastard. That's what you tell him, huh? I wouldn't lie to you. I believe people have faith, have trust. You know the greatest trust in the world? Two cannibals having oral sex.
You know what kind of stuff rednecks like to buy? Shiny stuff. We are attracted to shiny objects. UFOs, beer cans, fishing lures. If it's shiny, we like it. And if you think about it, most of the people that see UFOs have been using fishing lures and holding beer cans. So actually, there's a connection there.
Remember how fast I used to be when I was a sperm? I'll never forget the day of the big race. There were millions of us in the field, but I beat them off to fertilize that egg, mister. Back in the cervix, I was semen first class.
We are the Kings of the Podcastle. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode 20. No, you shut up.
No, you.
No, you shut up.
I said shut the F bomb up.
Shut up.
Please listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher. Go to our website, kingsofthepodcastle.com. Check us out on Facebook. That's where we interact with you the most. We get Facebook topics every year. So go to Facebook.com. Or every year. Every week. Every week we get new Facebook topics from our listeners. So go to Facebook.com/kingsofthepodcastle. And of course you can shoot us an email. Kings@kingsofthepodcastle.
Also free.
Also everything free. Yes. God almighty. thank you for making sure that you got that in there. So like I said, right before we went into the break, please welcome to the big show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Dan Gordon from Murder Mystery Dinner Shows. Thank you. Thank you.
Flash Gordon,
hello.
Brother
came out.
Hello.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So you're here to talk about your company. And basically, well, why don't you tell us basically what your company does?
All right. Well, we are the Murder Mystery Company. We are a national company. We have interactive dinner theater. Everybody knows the game of Clue, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a live action version of the game of Clue, except way more fun.
Okay.
Except this time you can stick the candlestick up Professor Plum's ass.
God almighty.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. Now, Dan, tell me about... Like Sleuth's Murder Mystery Dinner Theater is actually a place where they go. It's the same place every time, but yours isn't like that. You kind of go wherever the show is, I guess. So how does it work?
Well, we've got two different types of shows that we do. We have a public show, and then we have private shows.
Private shows.
Absolutely. Right.
He's trying to promote a company here, guys.
Sorry.
let's keep the ass and dick jokes to a minimum if we can.
Those two are sitting next to each other. They can have as many private shows on that side of the table as they want. I'm totally okay with that.
So go ahead, Dan. How does this thing work? How do you guys do it?
So the public shows, basically we take over a restaurant. I mean, we have a business relationship with them, of course, but we take over a restaurant. They provide the food and drinks. We provide the entertainment. In Florida, we've got three different venues. We have Miami, Tampa, and Coco.
Uh-huh.
Although Miami, we're actually switching venues right now. So, and then our private shows. We do private shows. So if you want to have us for a birthday party, a wedding, a corporate event.
Okay.
We go to wherever you want us to. Anywhere from a high-rise our high-rise hotel in Miami. We've done yachts and we've done single-wide trailers.
Wow! All right, yeah. That's pretty versatile.
So you went to Greg's mom's house. Is that your thing?
Look at his face. Look, he's so angry. I love it. We should take a picture of that face right now. My God,
makes me happy.
Yeah, I'll make you happy when we take Greg and I slap in your fucking face.
Bad Greg. So you guys are for hire, basically. You're like a murder, an acting troupe that does these murder mystery theater shows, and you're for hire. I mean, people can bring you anywhere that they want to put on a show, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anywhere that they wouldn't send us at our corporate office. So, yeah, absolutely anywhere.
Okay, so if somebody was interested in this or they wanted to maybe come see an upcoming show that you have at one of your permanent venues, or if they were interested in maybe hiring you, how would they get in touch with you?
Go to themurdermysteryco.com, themurdermysteryco.com, and of course, there's an 800 number on there. It's 888-643-CLUE, which nice. I think is 2583. I got to use the cheat every time I do it, too. So.
Gotcha. And maybe what we can do is put a little link to our website to their website.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We can post it on our Facebook page for sure so that people can get in touch with you.
Now, are you guys doing the Ritz Theater? Like, I saw they have a murder mystery something coming, like, on their schedule.
No,
that's
we're
not you guys.
That's not us.
Okay, we'll edit that out. We'll edit that out. No problem.
I was just questioning.
No, you know what's funny? I don't know if this is relevant or not, but the murder mysteries were popular in the 80s and then they kind of died.
Yeah.
And I can only say this because the owner of our company, my boss, I honestly believe he brought them back.
Really?
Because now you see him popping up left and right.
Well,
they're Sleuth's all over
the place. Packed literally like every night. Like one time that I went, it was just cram packed. I mean, over 150, 200 people in there, and it was like a Tuesday night.
Wow!
So I can imagine like it's definitely growing in popularity.
And there's always buses that pull up that like all these people just get on the lead. We're trying to get them to come watch our comedy. You know, at the end of after they do that, we do comedy show. Like, hey, stick around for the free comedy show. And they're like, no, we got to catch the bus or we got to catch this cab.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But imagine being a business owner and you're seeing Sleuth's packed every night and you're like, well, how do I get that for myself? This is perfect. You can have a business and these guys can just come in and do the same show and same show, but do a good show.
Do a
murder mystery show. And then all that crowd all of a sudden goes, wait, I don't have to get on a bus or a cab and go that far. I can just get it right here.
That's
awesome.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah. And these guys, I've done a show with them at someone's home. We drove out close to Tampa at someone's house and did a show in their living room, I guess it was. I don't remember.
But, yeah, it was like a side room. I don't know. Yeah. Living room, basically.
But yeah, gotcha. We did it in their home. So they'll go to like a home.
Yeah. So it's okay. So you said that murder mystery theaters were really popular. Then they went away. Mm-hmm. Now they're coming back. What can you run us through? Just what is the show? I mean, I honestly have never gone to see one of these. So if I were a guest and I was going, what would I experience?
Well, first off, I know you have never seen a show. Every time we do one, I'm staring at the door waiting for you to show up.
That's the mystery. Right. Where is Mike?
Right, right. So the show, the way it works is as you come into the venue, there's anywhere between one and four, honestly, but there's usually two or three people that are in costume greeting you, and we're welcoming you into basically our world, whatever theme it is, whether it's the 1920s gangster theme or the Western theme that John's done a couple times. So we're welcoming you into our world.
Okay.
And then as you come in, and it kind of changes depending if it's public or private shows, but we basically, you sit down and then suspects, quote unquote, show up. And what we do with the suspects, if there's a whole table of people, 6 or 10 people, we give one person a costume piece, we give them a binder, and within that binder it has clues, a little bit about that suspect, and then they have a goal. So when I say it's interactive, I mean it truly is interactive. It's one of those things you have to kind of see to believe.
Very cool. Greg, I know you had a question for Dan Gordon with the...
I just wanted to comment on the fact that, like, yes, I remember back in the 80s, they were really popular. I, in fact, and this is kind of a cool thing, I remember in college, my freshman year, I went to Ranger College in Ranger, Texas. Next to Ranger was 15 miles away was Cisco, which was back in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, a big oil boom town. And that's where the original, and I'm not kidding, you can look this up, the very first Hilton Hotel was based in this town.
Okay.
And I mean, it's only like 3 stories high. And I think it's like every 2 months, the only thing they open up is just the restaurant part, and they have to clean it out and everything. But they will do a mystery theater there.
Yeah, nice.
And I did, and that was one of my first acting bits ever in college, was doing that. And I didn't get paid for it, but I got college credit for it.
Right,
which
was even
kinda
better.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, and they're growing more and more. Like I remember in the late 90s, you know, I would hear about one in Abilene, Texas, or a couple in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like you look online, you can find them everywhere. They're it's exploding.
Yeah, that's very cool. So one more time, give them the website if you could, just let them know how to get in touch with you.
TheMurderMysteryCo.com.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Are you going to hang out a little bit? Because we got some other fun stuff that we want to talk about.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah? Okay.
No, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, no, okay, cool. Yeah. First thing that I wanted to run by you guys, I don't know if you've heard about this, but Krispy Kreme has introduced a new sandwich at the San Diego Fair.
Wait, Krispy Kreme has sandwiches?
Yeah, Krispy Kreme. Yeah, apparently so. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
It's horrible.
National Donut Day was during this last week, and it brought out Friday, Dunkin' Donuts unveiled its new glazed donut breakfast sandwich. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's it's got bacon, fried egg, and cheese on a glazed donut bun.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
God,
oh,
no.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It takes my attention from slapping Devin around.
But not to be outdone, Krispy Kreme decided that they would come out to one. They have, according to a Facebook post by Chef Chicken Charlie Bogahosian.
What?
Wait.
I'm reading the
article.
What
is his name again?
Chef Chicken Charlie Bogosian.
Something tells me that he is not of a slender nature.
He's also known as California's deep fried king, so I think you might be
right. Something about triple chin king too.
But apparently the Krispy Kreme is introducing a sloppy Joe donut.
That's
sandwich.
Terrible. Why are they doing this? Why don't they just stick to donuts?
You know what's funny to me? What happened to the health craze? Like when McDonald's started making healthier sandwiches and everything like this. Now you got these guys that are coming and going the exact opposite direction.
On the way to the Star Island Resort, have you ever stopped at the Krispy Kreme factory?
I haven't.
It is awesome, dude, because I mean, if you've ever been to a Krispy Kreme factory, it's like the little store where they sell the actual Krispy Kremes and they mail them out to all the convenience stores. They have a conveyor belt where they make all the stuff, and all of a sudden, there's a thing that flips them over
Hold
in
on.
The fryer.
1 second.
And they come around, and then there's an icing waterfall.
I'm pretty sure that you just said that they have a
conveyor belt.
Conveyor belt.
Does it breathe heavy?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, standing in line, you stupid sons of bitches. They hand you fresh donuts that come off the line. It's like putting like a fresh, delicious in your mouth and it melts down your throat. It's awesome.
I'm picturing like the taste tester at the end of the line grabbing and taking a bite and going, the force is strong with this one.
And he's also and he's also saying, oh my god, it tastes better than vagina.
Oh, I thought you were gonna cuss again. Sorry.
When it flips him over, it just turns him to the dark side. It just
yes. Oh my god, they don't have an oven, they just have an emperor going over there going to warm him up. I'm sorry,
that's just like the sexual position called the Emperor Palpatine. It's like where you have a girl spread her legs on the edge of the bed and you wear wool socks and scrape them against the carpet and then you walk up and shock her vagina.
I've done that.
Oh my god. Was it on purpose?
Yes, it was on purpose.
Oh, okay. It was okay. Good.
That's
all I got. That's all you got. Okay. Yeah,
Greg
That's
just
it.
Does the Vader where he just breathes really heavy for a long time. All Greg's right. gonna beat my ass.
Yeah, actually, I'm actually considering kicking the ever living shit out of you when I get out of here.
If he gets his car started, he's gonna.
Pretty much anybody that does a mom joke against my mom, I just want to kick the ever living fuck out of him.
Oh my god! Easy there, killer. Yes, go Zach.
The interesting thing, we got comments on the podcast last week, and one of the comments I got was, you know, I'm just waiting for somebody to just jump across the table and knock the shit out of somebody else.
It's about to happen.
It's about to happen.
Okay, so let's move on from Krispy Kreme and their conveyor belt. here's a little list that I found on BuzzFeed. It's 21 actors who almost got the part but didn't quite make it. How about Tim Roth? Think of Tim Roth as playing, is it Severus Snape?
Yeah.
Yeah, Severus Snape from Harry Potter. You're a Harry Potter fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I could see that.
You could see it? Yeah, I could actually. Tim Roth would have played Severus Snape, but apparently it actually ended up going to
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, mm-hmm. Yes, of course. The guy.
Alan Rickman.
Which he had an okay career up till then, but that's made him.
Yeah?
That has made him.
No. Die Hard made him.
Yeah, Die Hard is what made him, dude. Yeah. That's where he came from.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. Mr. Takaki will not be joining us for the rest of his life.
Well, you also got to consider that Zach was born the year after the first Die Hard came out.
That is true.
Oh, that's true.
That
wow,
is true.
You're the youngster in the room.
So you've never seen Moonlighting?
No.
That's where Bruce Willis guys starred.
Oh, yeah. He was actually still filming Moonlighting whenever they started filming Die Hard.
With Bitch Shepherd or Sybil Shepherd, whatever.
Does anybody watch The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yes.
You did?
I've seen the originals. Yeah, I didn't see the new
I have
one.
No idea who Lisbeth Salander is. I guess it's the main character.
That was pretty much like her big movie. Like, she hasn't been in... I don't know that she's been in much of anything since, really.
Well, Carey Mulligan was... No, Lisbeth Salander must be the... Must be the lead character.
Well, I have no idea who the lead character, what the hell her name is.
Okay, well, Carey Mulligan was in the running. Yeah, no good? That's what I thought. Nobody really pays attention. How about this one? Nicolas Cage playing John Bender in The Breakfast Club.
What? That's actually a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Think of the young Nick Cage, like Raising Arizona Nick Cage.
Now, who was it that actually played, what character was
Judd
John?
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson, yeah. I couldn't picture Nick Cage doing
that. Yeah, but
that
Nick
part.
Cage, whenever he started out acting, he changed his name from Nicholas Coppola because he didn't want to have
right.
him
yeah.
from his uncle. So,
but despite what his name was, I still couldn't see him playing.
He kind of played
character.
The same part in Valley Girl anyway.
Oh, did he?
Kind of.
That character in The Breakfast Club, he needed emotional depth. And when you think Nick Cage is just totally flatline on the emotion scale.
I don't know. No? When he went off the scale on the Gone in 60 Seconds with the scene where he was talking to the English guy or Australian guy, he's like, you take this, and you make this, and then you take off the 20, and then you got this. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of like, okay, I could see him playing Judd Nelson's character in Breakfast Club just from that line.
Maybe. What about this one? Jennifer Lawrence, who plays the Hunger Games trilogy, she actually was up in the running for Bella in Twilight, which actually went to Kristen Stewart.
Oh, God. Good. She would have done so much better because Kristen Stewart is the worst actress of all time.
She's a Muppet.
Yeah, but they were terrible movies, so she's lucky she missed out for that.
Yeah,
are you kidding
absolutely.
Me? Hunger Games.
I will
was a
say
great
this.
Movie.
No. He's talking about Twilight.
Yeah. Oh, they might have actually been better if had that girl been in it.
Kristen
Stewart.
They were
terrible.
Have you seen the new Snow White with Kristen Stewart? That part where she stares at the troll like...
Yeah, but have you actually seen any of the Twilight movies? Just the movie
I've seen the first one, and I thought I was going to go chop my dick off.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible. How about this one? This one's going to get you. Will Smith in Django Unchained.
No!
No, no, not in a million years.
Yeah, but I never pictured Jamie Foxx playing that character.
What?
Either.
Oh yeah, I could. Yeah.
Absolutely, Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, but like, I expected maybe Samuel Jackson could have played that part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, Sam Jackson had it. Yeah, he did a great job.
I know he did a good job with that other one, but I mean, we could have gotten like, I don't know, the dude played Mr. Jefferson, but he was already dead.
Go ahead, Zach.
Am I the only one that thinks that Andy Dick would have been good in that role?
Yeah, yes.
Just me?
Yeah, that would be you. Yeah, good job, buddy.
Dude, let's never mention Andy Dick ever again on this podcast. The worst fucking idiot on the
Oh, my God. Please. Knock it off.
I'm just so used to him saying this.
I know, but quit dropping the F-bomb, please. For the love of God, I'm going to come over there and knock the shit out of you.
And then I'm going to go over there and beat the shit out of Devin for doing that.
I've seen Mike fight. You will not be able to move after you come up.
I doubt it.
Hey, whatever. For the record, I got out of the car and walked. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, another inside joke.
I will limp my ass over there and tear your head out.
All right, I've got a really quick question, story that I want to run by you guys because I think it's really going to piss off Devin. And this might actually spark the fight. The Northwest Houston community of Oak Forest is the first neighborhood in the country being trained and equipped by the Armed Citizen Project, which is a Houston nonprofit that is giving away free shotguns to single women and residents of neighborhoods with a high crime rate.
Oh, my God. Let me get out of the way before these two get out.
Wow.
This is going on in Houston.
I'm very scared for my life. I'm between the two of them, and this is not good.
I think we should do a remote podcast from Houston.
Residents of Oak Forest say that their neighborhood, made up of older one-story houses and a growing number of new townhomes, has experienced a recent rash of drive-away robberies and home burglaries. On a recent Sunday afternoon, a group of 10 citizens, including, I have no idea who this person is, went through training at Shiloh Shooting, at Northwest Houston Gun Range. It cost the organization about $300 to arm and train an individual and about $20,000 for the entire neighborhood. All costs are paid through donations, and they declined to really go into it any further than that.
Okay, how do you arm and train? I can understand arm, but train people with shotguns? You basically hold at the hip and just fire. And it spreads to
point
whatever.
Point it in the general
direction.
You
don't remember playing Contra and getting the shotgun. You just shoot forward, and it takes care of everything in your path.
What is the point of arming them if these robberies, like, they're taking place and the people are coming and leaving, and then they're going, oh, my God, I was robbed. It's not like they're being, like, tied up in their homes and, like...
But do you generally think that it's a good idea to go out and give citizens guns? Here's a free gun to protect your home.
As much as you know how I feel about this subject matter, I do think that it's I'm leaning towards yes, it is a good idea.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You think giving everybody a gun is a good idea?
If,
I mean,
in that one particular neighborhood, there's a rash of robberies. And that one group, which it sounds like it's probably one group jumping in and doing this, they got shot one time, and they know that there's guns in this neighborhood. They're not going to rob this neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, how many times, though, does a gun actually prevent a robbery from taking place? I mean, you see this stuff occasionally, like in the 7-Eleven and stuff, but that's face-to-face robbery. Like, I'm talking more, this is what I'm thinking. You put a gun in the home, you have more chance of violence and stuff happening. Oscar Pistorius would probably just be facing abuse charges, not murder charges, had he not had a gun at his bedside, you know, had he not had access to that. I think of how many homicides, suicides, things like that that take place because of the ease of access of already having
a
gun in
your
house.
And I'm with you on that.
And now you're
completely,
providing them
completely.
The gun, you know?
But I mean, if there's a rash of robberies in our neighborhood, I'd feel a lot safer with a gun in the house.
Put a sign in the front yard that says I own a gun. Fuck off. I mean, screw off.
God almighty, Greg. Please, dude. Seriously. Stop it.
The thing with this is it was unsolicited. I mean, these people show up in a neighborhood and like, you guys got some crime. We got some guns.
What if somebody in the place is actually robbing them and now they're like, here's a gun for you to prevent the robbery that you're secretly doing and we don't know yet. You know, like,
right.
I just think it's a bad idea because if you're giving everybody a gun, let's say at first they have these weapons because they're trying to prevent themselves from getting robbed, but then now John comes over and trims my tree, and I come home and see that he trimmed half of my tree away, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? We get into a big argument. I go back to the house and grab my shotgun now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why would you even want to make that a possibility at this point? Yeah, to
I'm
me
with
is,
you. Whether they admit it or not, that thought's always in the back of your mind. Like, exactly. I have a shotgun in my home that was given to me by my grandfather for hunting purposes.
Yeah.
And I can say that several times I've heard something outside and I'm like, okay, I know the shotgun's there, you know, yeah. And that's sad. And I've also actually like been in the neighborhood walking, and there was a guy that ran the stop sign and like almost hit me and my dog. And I was thinking, if he had ran over my dog, I would have went home and got my shotgun.
Yeah,
like
see?
I would have filled him with holes. Like,
yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, but you don't want to have,
and
that.
I don't want to have that access. To
exactly,
that, you know?
And to me, I think that's exactly the point. The more guns you put out there, and even though you're thinking you have a good intent,
that's why we have a 3-day waiting period.
Yeah, you're opening
you
the door
calm
for.
Down,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
On the other hand of that, though, what if somebody comes into your house and your family's in there and they're threatened? You have no way of defending your family. You know, if he has a gun or a weapon or something, and you can't get your hands on anything. You know what I mean?
But what if a person comes into your house with your family in it with the intent to rob, but now that you have a gun in your house, they get to it first and they kill your whole family?
That's why you sleep with it under your pillow or under your bed.
That's a bad idea.
Because I don't know.
No, it's not. My mom sleeps with a .38 underneath her mattress.
I hear
and
you.
If something happens, she grabs it and cocks it back, and she's like ready for somebody.
Well,
to
I imagine there's a lot of violence in the trailer park. I mean.
She told you
just
as
a joke, Greg. Just she told a joke, Greg.
Joke, dude.
Whoa. God. Wow. Oh my God.
You know what's funny is this is like the fourth time, the second time that I've made fun of his mom. But how many times has he said he had sex with my mom? Like,
yeah, only his retaliation to you, son of a bitch. God.
All right, things are getting heated in here in the podcast room.
They can't
We're
be getting
take...
heated. He threw ice at me. It's cold.
Good point. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. And when we come back, it's time to go into the ridiculous news section. We'll be back with that and more here on Kings of the Podcastle.
And now the Kings presents their favorite impressions.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I get to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to need you to bring the music down. Bring it all the way down. Just take it all the way out for me. Okay, here's my impression. I'll let you guess what it is.
Okay.
Ready?
I don't know. I give up.
I'm at a
what
loss.
Is, guess what it is?
Bigfoot? No. Because he doesn't exist?
It's a dead baby.
Oh. Very interesting.
All right. I got one. This is an impression of King Mike's high school girlfriend. King Mike's high school girlfriend.
You're supposed to do the impression first, and then we guess.
No. King Mike's high school girlfriend.
Okay.
Huh? Meh.
Greg, are you ready?
How is Betsy, by the way?
She cheated on me. She got knocked up right after.
The farmer in the dell.
I told you not to talk about my mama.
Wow.
Because me and the fine citizens of the state of California do not like people to talk about the mamas. Get to the chopper.
Is that Al Pacino with a stroke?
I'm going to go with the governor on that one, yeah. John?
All right, try to guess who this is. Music down.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Stephen Hawking.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I like it. Yeah, good job.
This one's pretty easy.
Okay. So it's like me and Scoob. We were just heading down to the dock when out popped a scary ghost.
Wow.
Shaggy, right?
Yeah. You need some Scooby snacks there, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. I think mine was the best.
Yeah. Mm. And that was the Kings present their favorite impressions.
Hello! Oh boy, you threw that one on me. Kings of the Podcastle here. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 20, No You Shut Up.
No, you shut up. You.
Yeah, well, that's right. We're getting ridiculous with our titles. We'll come up with some more clever ones later. We're putting Devin
some
in charge.
Some more? When do
we
start?
We're going to put Devin in charge of him because he thinks that he's got it down. King Greg, yes, you have something to say.
Yeah, I wanted to apologize to the listeners if they think that, like, you know, I am temperamental. I am temperamental. I would just
Angry
like
Texan.
To say... Yeah, the guys here, they push my buttons on a reason just because it's good for the podcast. Sometimes I may take it a little too far, and I want to apologize to all the listeners and all the guys in the studio. I don't want them to think I hate them. I do hate mom jokes, and I know that these guys aren't, like, out to, like, get me, but given circumstances, I was already like super pissed whenever I came in the studio. So it was like,
oh, I mean, I've never even met your mom. I mean, I met Zach's mom several times.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what it
that's
is.
That's how Zach's here.
But just to let everybody know, if anybody took offense to anything that I did or said or any of the guys in the studio, I apologize. It's just been a rough week for me. It's good for listeners. Just if any listeners email anything about my mom, I will come find you. we have IP addresses, but but the thing was, you know, King Devin and I, who's 6'6", and I'm 5'8.5", and I thought that he and I might actually go outside and do a WWE, and then I started thinking, like, okay, I watch a lot of wrestling, and I've seen how fights go with guys that are 5'8 versus Kane. And I really didn't feel like getting chokeslammed into the desert, which is Mike Lee's front yard.
Which brings us to our next topic. If you have any good Greg's mom's jokes, go to www.facebook.com/kingsofthepodcast.
That's actually probably a bad idea. I might have to go to like therapy after that one.
So it's safe to say that you're not going to throw any more foreign objects at Devin's head during the podcast, right?
I can't really promise that. I'm thinking about getting one of those Nerf like little dart gun things and like shooting all of you.
I don't have a
real gun, you know.
I don't like the fact that he's on the side with Gallagher's sledgehammer. That really makes me nervous.
If he would have thought about that, that would have been a much better object to throw at you. Yeah. All right. Well, apology accepted. Thank you very much. We will move on. I think everything's going to be just fine. Don't worry.
But it's good for radio. I hope everybody was entertained by the first segment. Because, you know, our podcast is very versatile. We have comedy a lot. We have discussed the discussions. And we also have a little bit of drama and action.
And now we have muffins.
Yeah.
We have muffins, yes.
Big thanks to Dan Gordon and his wife, Mandy, who came down and hung out with us from Murder Mystery Theater, Dinner Theater. Hope you guys go and check
that
out.
Wait,
go ahead.
If we all eat a muffin and one of us dies, maybe this is part of his
his promotion.
Yeah. You did it.
I hope not. Like, now I'm not going to eat
muffin
one.
Muffin roulette.
That means I get two.
All right, it's time to move into our ridiculous news part of the show. And the very first thing that I have here is it's off of BuzzFeed.com again. PornMD, part of the popular Pornhub.com network for free porn sites, has created a very cool interactive map showing search data for U.S. states and the world. In the U.S., most states' top search terms are fairly predictable, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. But it's a list, basically. Go ahead.
I was thinking in Oklahoma.
Hold on, wait. Yeah, you're playing right into what I'm about to do. You're playing right into what I'm about to do. Basically, this is a list of the top porn search terms. So if a person goes to a porn site looking for a specific something, what do they search for? You see what I'm saying?
And these are the top ones.
I've got the top ones for the state of Florida. What would you think it is? Think about Florida.
Didn't know that they were state interracial specific.
No. Yeah, they're state specific. They're state specific here in the nation, and then they also have some around the world.
I would say that in Florida, it's the mature.
Oh,
porn,
really? Really? Possibly. And you say interracial? Greg, do you have an idea?
Granny porn.
I don't know.
Okay, mature. Zach already knows because he and I put this together. But Florida is actually, believe it or not, teen.
Really?
Yeah, most people in Florida want to see some
as
teen.
Is the entire rest of the country. Like, let's just go down to this.
How about New Jersey? New Jersey, John, what do you think they have over there?
Mafia
what do you
think porn. Biggest?
Yeah, mafia porn. Chicks with mustaches.
I'm going to go with chubby porn because of Chris Christie.
Actually, in New Jersey, the most searched term is MILF.
MILF? Okay.
Texas, Greg, what do you think it would be?
Oh God!
What do you think it is? Farm porn?
No, that would be Iowa, I think. Texas, man. Sadomasochism because we have the death row and shit. I don't know. I mean,
I actually think since they're the Lone Star State, it's solo masturbation.
or anything that starts with W.
No, it's actually teen again. Teen is popular in Texas. And where I'm from, Oklahoma, where would you think would be?
Where the girl gets in a basket and like hangs from the guy and like they twist at the rope and she twists around. Tornado porn, I don't know.
Chandelier porn?
Yeah.
No. Incest?
No. It's actually cream pie.
Oh, wow. Really?
Giggity, giggity.
Is a Massachusetts amputee porn? Shit. Somebody's going to be pissed about that
one.
Oh,
my God. Yes, that one is going to get them. If we hadn't gotten them already, that one's going to get them.
But wait, makes sense.
So we have some more here. Most of Europe has some weird national pride. The UK searches for British, Germany for German, France for French, and so on, except for a few. Romania. Mm. What do you think?
Well, Romania is formerly Transylvania, so they're probably into like biting and bleeding and shit like that.
Ooh, maybe? No, that's not it. But that is a good guess. That's a good educated. That's what they call a hypothesis. Devin, what about you?
I have no idea.
No? Okay. It's Greg, do you want to take a gander?
Goat porn? Because it's in the mountains? Yeah, I don't know.
No. They actually search in Romania. The top search porn term is mom and son.
Mom and son?
Wow.
How about Finland? Actually, I'll say this. I'll give you a hint. This one has already been suggested by one of you guys, but it was not correct yet.
Oh, I was thinking like porn wearing jackets. It's so fucking cold there.
Granny porn? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, yeah. Well, basically mature porn. Yeah, really? Mature porn. Yeah, yeah. How about the Czech Republic? Oh, my God. I just read this one.
By the way, we do have a listener in Romania.
Oh, we do?
Yeah,
oh,
actually, wow. The guy I worked with in upstate New York, he listens to us from
Romania. I wonder if he was searching for granny porn and we popped up.
No. What was Romania, Transylvania again? What was that one?
It was mom and son.
He probably listens. He probably watches Annabelle Flowers. I don't know if you've ever seen her before.
No,
but she does a lot of like she's slightly overweight lady, and she does these little skits with any guy that she's with to pretend like he's her son.
Yeah,
the dad's away at work. Yeah.
Why? That's not. No.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, the porn that like my buddy was watching, I was like, what are you into? And he was like, well, I watch this woman, Annabelle Flowers, and like the kid comes in and confronts the guy about smelling her panties and said, I can't believe I'm going to tell your father. No, please don't tell dad. Well, I'm your step.
I don't want you to go any further.
Crazy, no. Dude. No. He was telling me this. I had to look at my face like, what the hell?
You have a very detailed knowledge of this.
Yeah, no kidding. Uh-huh.
Yeah, dude, because the dude explained everything to me, and I was like, wow, terrible. Okay.
All right, moving on. No
I
more.
See nothing wrong with that, just to end that one. There's nothing wrong with the mom-son fantasy.
So you want
to
bone your mom?
No.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. That's what you said.
That's not
said
what
it.
I said.
You just
yeah,
said
but the,
it.
The stepmom, quote it, quote stepmom maybe.
I will,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if
I will throw things at
chick,
you.
All right, how about the Czech Republic? Come on, give me some good ones. What do you think they're searching for in the Czech Republic?
Schwarzenegger? No, that's Austria.
Instead of granny porn, it's nanny porn.
Oh, God, oh, my God, I'm going to touch myself. This is so funny. I'm drinking straight Jaeger at this point.
All right, come on, Czech Republic. What else? Come on, Devin.
I don't know.
They're in a pee?
No, it's
no?
Fisting.
Fisting.
Well, I mean, in World War II, they kind of did start things. I mean, World War I, they did start things. So
all right, this one's really good, too. Kazakhstan, give me a guess. Kazakhstan.
Isn't that where Chernobyl is? Like the
Wait, isn't that where Borat's
cancer
from?
Porn?
Okay, you know what you want to hear? What it
Wizard
is?
Sleeve porn.
No, it's a squirt machine. Squirt machine.
What?
Is what
squirt? What's a squirt machine?
That was my nickname in high school.
Oh, what's that? Damn, that is unfortunate, man. Okay, how about Palestine?
Israeli porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
No. Israeli S&M porn. Yeah.
No.
They're in the chicks whose areolas are like the shape of the Star of David.
Oh my god.
No, oh my god, it's like
they're searching for family porn over there. That's
family porn.
Yeah, family
hey
porn.
Just like on Idiocracy, Devin, hey, do you mind if we go family style on her?
And then it gets a little creepy. Lebanon is searching for sleeping girl.
Oh.
And South Africa is searching for hidden cam.
No. Okay. Sleeping girl's like, shh. Make sure the camera's on, okay?
I would have thought Africa would have been food porn.
Oh my God.
Giraffe porn.
That would require they have computers.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
And they listen to Toto while they do it.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's see. okay. All right. Here's another little ridiculous story. This is out of, where is this place? It's in Sweden. More than a dozen male train workers in Sweden have found a way to dodge the no shorts dress code. They just wear skirts.
What? Really?
Yeah. So Arriva, I guess, is the train company, which operates Stockholm's Roslagsbanan train.
Don't hurt yourself.
Good Come luck. On, yeah. man. Look at that. Look right there. Devin, help me out.
Just what he said.
There you go. Anyway, they have a strict policy against the engineers. They're not allowed to wear shorts. But the engineers are saying, hey, it gets up to like 95 degrees in this thing. So we're going to get around that by wearing skirts.
Would yeah, you- but like, you know why the Scottish wear kilts, right?
Why?
Because sheep can hear zippers.
That's good.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, that's probably the same reason they're like, well, let's just take after the Scottish then.
Yeah. So would you do this? Would you wear a skirt? Like, John, I know that at your job, your current job, you've talked about trying to get them to right. let you wear shorts when you're working outside.
Well, they've approved the shorts thing, so
oh, they have?
I haven't had to take it to an extreme. Yeah.
But if you were to do it, would you wear just a regular mini skirt or a kilt?
I'd go with a mini skirt.
Yeah.
Because then they would have to approve the shorts. Because have you ever seen me in a mini skirt?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. It's not good.
Do you think they'd give you a logoed tube top? Logo with the tube top? No?
No, just go. I don't know.
Where's those crickets at?
Let's edit that one out.
What? Then you have Jürgen who shows up in the skirt that goes down to his ankles and they're like, what? Oh, this is for comfort? Oh.
Let's see here. We have in Russia, of course, we always make fun of Russians for being drunk, right? Well, apparently.
Riding unicycles as bears.
The stereotype goes on. An inquiry into a helicopter crash in Russia has revealed that the accident, which killed all three of the onboard passengers, occurred because a drunk passenger was allowed to fly the chopper by its drunk pilot.
Nice.
And we're so surprised that no one ever.
Right. The accident took place back in December in Moscow. An analysis of the pilot's blood after the crash revealed that he had a blood alcohol level of 0.9, while the passengers had a level of 1.6 and 2.2.
How do they get that if they like, here, this breathalyzer. Then they put like in his mouth and they step on his chest.
I don't know.
I do have a point to make about that. The girls that I worked with in Russia for 3 years up in upstate New York, they even said that like whenever they get in Moscow to like fly over here, they even see that the Russian pilots that are flying the planes to come to America, even if it's an American pilot or whatever, are not, and even says in the bars there in Russian, if you're going to America and you're flying a plane, you cannot have alcohol. So apparently, I guess in Russia or whatever, you can like get tanked and be like, I'm flying to Tokyo today, you know, I don't have to worry about drinking. And I was like, girls, you didn't get worried a bit whenever it was a Russian pilot, you know, flying you to the like the connecting flight in England or whatever? I'm like, come on.
I'm going to make this our last story for the show today because we're running late on time. But speaking of, the reason why I bring this up and choose it as our last one is because you made the joke about riding with unicycles on bears or what? Or bears? Wait. Riding bears on unicycle?
No, he was saying?
Yeah, that's what I do. I get on a bear's back and then he rides a unicycle.
Rides a unicycle. You know what
that's
I
how
do?
I know he's Russian.
You know what I do because we're American? I ride a buffalo.
Guy on a buffalo. Buffalo. Because that's the greatest Western of all time. If you have not seen it, go to YouTube and type in Guy on a Buffalo and watch 1 through 4.
Make sure you're on YouTube.
It's the greatest Western of all time.
We'll put Guy on a Buffalo on the Facebook.
All right. Okay, so this right here is the greatest cyclist story ever. Naked cyclist bringing Mexico City streets to a standstill. Thousands of naked cyclists have ridden through the streets of Mexico City to mark the World Naked Bike Ride. The event is to raise awareness of the importance of cycling for exercise and as a way to reduce fossil fuels.
All right.
Okay. Why do they have to do the naked part then? I guess just to get us to talk about them.
It's hot in Mexico.
I guess so. Yeah.
Also, if you think about it, in Mexico, they run a lot of diesel to run the fabric machines that make the clothes that we wear here in America. So.
Yeah.
That's actually brilliant. I agree with it.
I was expecting some kind of a joke there, but I guess he just wanted to say that he agrees. Okay, that's great.
I don't know that I could do that because the
scene, I know.
Like, I mean, I don't want like some sweaty fat like, you know, Horatio that's like, I learned to run a motorcycle when I was like 15. Essay. Oh,
I think that the bar like in the middle would turn my ball sack into a pinata.
Ow. There's no candy in there. There's no candy.
Am I the only one who would be worried about getting caught in the chain?
Yes.
Reason there's no candy. The reason there's no candy in the pinata is because he's already got 15 kids.
Whoa.
What?
Apparently, this movement began 9 years ago in Canada and has been held every year in various cities around the world. I had no idea that there was a naked bicycle marathon. Did you guys know about this?
I didn't, but I don't doubt it, that it is somewhere doing that, you know.
Traffic in Mexico City came to a standstill as onlookers stared in amazement. And took photographs of the cyclists, naked or semi-naked, streaming past some of the city's most famous landmarks. Mexican media estimates that about 300 cyclists took part in the demonstration. I think we should go down there and hang out and do it next year.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Hang out.
Yeah, but in Canada though, it's cold.
True.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Listen, guys. Remember,
that's the weather with Greg, and we're back to sports.
Remember, guys, there are showers and there are growers. All right, remember.
And Greg's neither.
Oh my God. All right. Oh, we're wrapping things up.
Not when
up
it's
here.
Cold, damn it.
We are the Kings of the Podcastle. Thank you for joining us one more time for episode 20. No, you shut up. We will be back next week, of course, with more ridiculous news and some of the week's top stories that we love to give our opinion on. Please check us out on iTunes. Go and subscribe. Check us out on Stitcher. Go to kingsofthepodcastle.com. And, of course, send us your comments, concerns, questions to facebook.com/kingsofthepodcastle. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
I'm sorry, everybody, that I'm always mad.
Show me your boobs.
I say that same thing when I can't get it up with a woman.
And you don't look metrosexual. She might have had a little hang down the monkey.
That takes applying lipstick to a whole new level.
Hey, oh, that must be why you like it from behind all the time.
Well, we can have some private time. My mom's out of the house.
Jabbing a sausage in your mouth. No, what's a fap?
Well, I hope it was doggy style, sweetheart. Let's clean out your vag from all that sand you got up in there, because I really don't give a rat's ass.
Is that like one guy, one horse? I moved out of mom's house. I'm going to get a butterfly on my backside. It looks like the gay communist China is singing at the song.
You have to grab some and sniff it.
Ye vagina is wetteth.
Only if you show me your tits.
Change your own tire next time, bitch.
And she had no words. It was just like, I was just like, what? And she's like, but it was like, is that a guy? I was like, okay.
I have a little vagina.
God. This really fine bean that they grow.
Uh-huh.
And then
a dookie bean.
What?
I'm getting pissed.
Now, listen here, honey. When you guys are done watching your SpongeBob, I want you to go ahead and take the knife that Mama sent to you and plunge it into Grandma and Grandpa's heart and fucking kill them.
I got one thing to say about that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, that's all I got to say about that.
Do you guys prefer a male or a female?
Female.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually would rather have an old man.
Please don't do this at home because, I mean, unless you're underage and you're listening to our show.
No.